You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? We're recording this on a Sunday. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Today's episode was brought to you by fathers.
Today's episode
we wouldn't be here without them.
Today's episode was brought to us by our disapproving fathers. No, that's not true. They approve of us completely. Welcome to Masters of Modern on a Sunday afternoon that you're hearing on a Tuesday morning, presumably. We've got a whole docket of fun things to talk about, and we have a special guest. Let's introduce our special guest. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Am I on like the dating game or something? No, I'm sorry. I'm special guest.
Well, first off, we haven't said your name.
I was hoping it was like this was like
it's
a very
Scott Campbell.
Okay.
Yes.
Right around the meatery.
Yeah, I was gonna give Kessler the opportunity to do something dramatic, but
I had to close the door.
Yeah, I know you got up. I was filling time. Where's your dramatic intro, Kessler?
All right. Okay. So Scott, tell the world about yourself a little bit. Do you like moonwalk on the beach?
Not really. But okay. For those of us who follow on Twitter, you can find me at MTG Pack Boils. I've been an Magic the Gathering enthusiast since the Dark, or actually probably Revised, because the Dark was like the first expansion I saw.
Very relevant to today's topic, by the way. Keep going.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, how about that? A little segue. And I've been playing at the FNM level or above since Time Spiral came out.
Oh, sweet. That's right when I started playing the level, too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, currently part of the infamous Dayton Magic Club, where we probably have the biggest legacy scene in the Midwest. At least I would like to think so. And we're currently about to launch our third annual autism benefit event at the end of July, which we could probably talk about later in the show.
Cool.
And you can find my blogs on
themeatery.com.
Excellent. Meatery.com. Cool.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. What is your blog generally about?
The autism benefit at the end of the month? End of July, I should say.
The blog on the meatery. It's about...
Oh, the blog on the meatery. It's just under my name. I can't remember if I gave it a title, to be honest. I'm just like, time to go blog, and I'll just hop on and blog. I just kind of do it for fun,
cool.
Really, and just mostly just talking about magic, like what we're doing now.
Sweet.
I usually try and give some type of quirky or fun titles to my blog entries. Like for my most recent one from GP Columbus, I titled it "It's Still a Jund Hard Life for Me."
Ooh.
To kind of paraphrase a little Annie in there. So,
Do you travel to a decent number of tournaments?
Just locally, really. The farthest I've ever went for a tournament was out in St. Louis. Back in February 2014, went to the SEG Open when they still had their opens how they were before they have them now.
Right, right, right.
I went out and visited a buddy of mine who beat colon cancer and hadn't seen him at that time in several years.
Cool.
He used to play locally where I'm at and moved out to St. Louis. I'm like, dude, I'm coming out for the weekend to help celebrate your defeat of cancer. And he's currently a father of triplets. So today is his first Father's Day.
Oh, that's exciting. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Happy Father's Day, my buddy Chris Daigle. You're probably out there listening on Tuesday, I guess, is this when this will go up or something?
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. He's in the future right now listening, so.
Yeah, it's always funny how that one works. So let's jump quickly into a couple shout-outs, and then let's get straight into the conversation today.
All right.
The MMCast on Twitter, at the MMCast.
Yep. I'm at Kes Wiley.
And I'm at Ben Bateman Media. We have an Instagram we launched for the MMCast. It's also at the MMCast. And currently we're just posting, like, pictures of pack openings, funny things from old birthdays of mine where we're dressed as Tom Cruise, other things like that.
I played Magic on the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
That was a recent post on the Twitter.
That was a total Magic the traveling ripoff, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah, fully.
It was
fully.
Fun. Yeah.
What he does
it's really easy because they like fit in your pocket. Like, yeah. I was like, any other bigger props are hard. Me and my brother do like, when we go to theme parks a lot, and when we do, we always try to get a good funny picture on
do
one of
something
the,
on the rides.
On the rides, yeah.
So yes, we are that's the deal. We're there. We are this podcast itself is available on rocketjump.com, but we have a sister podcast also available on rocketjump.com called
The Command Zone.
The Command Zone. Yeah, we finish each other's sentences.
Kind of. It's adorbs. So check them out. They do awesome Commander content, Jimmy and Josh. They've been taking a two-week hiatus because I think they've been cracking too many Eternal Master Packs. And Jimmy's actually doing, I'm assuming you guys will find out this before hearing us tell you about it, but every Monday for the next 3 weeks, Jimmy is doing a Eldritch Moon preview show for Wizards of the Coast. You should check that one out as
Very
well.
Very cool, yeah.
I'm assuming we got spoiled Emrakul on Monday.
Yeah, that's what you think?
Hashtag I called it.
Hashtag
I can see the future. Hashtag
the best. I don't know. I think it's an artifact.
Because of the image that they shared?
Yeah, but I mean, that could be anything, of course. But
I mean, I feel like because Jimmy's reaction was, I knew it. And Jimmy's been definitely on my side over the last 2 months. That Emrakul is probably the best. I'm calling Emrakul based on that reaction.
Okay.
Do you think that the
or it's like the legendary werewolf? I think it's one or the other because those are the two things that you'd be like, I knew this was going to be in this set.
Yeah, the legendary werewolf would be sweet. would the legendary werewolf possibly cost 2 mana? Possibly. No. Zero chance.
I think it'd be a 4 mana. I guess because I don't know.
If a legendary werewolf that was sick cost 2 mana,
probably be 5 mana.
Yeah, who cares if it's 5 mana? Anyway,
Commander players.
Yeah.
You want to play werewolf commander decks.
Yeah, it'd be silly. anyhow, the last thing we should shout out is that we're on Patreon. We have a Patreon account.
Yeah, it brings episodes like this to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Exactly.
Like last week especially where we did or 2 weeks ago, technically.
Yeah.
Where we did the brew off episode. That was because of Patreon.
Oh yeah, yeah. We take your brew submissions, we deck tech them live on the air, and then like also the cool thing about the Patreon is it's helping us develop new products. So we're gonna be launching a line of new products very soon.
Yeah. We actually know what the May rewards. It took us actually a while to figure it out. So we're sending out
let me sell this because
the first one is so both everyone on the podcast knows, and this is going to be a little bit longer of an intro. Sorry, Scott.
No, it's okay.
Know that Ben was involved and I created Top Decking, and so we actually like went through a company to get Top Decking DVDs made back when we were doing like a Kickstarter for the thing, but then we kind of just forgot this existed, and I found it through a weird email. So we're actually sending out one copy of Top Decking season 1 to everyone. Then you'll be the only people on the planet that have this DVD.
So the deal is basically that Kessler graduated college and decided to launch a company and make a web series about Magic card playing group of people at a store and a girl that starts working there. And I was in it. I played a vampire named Fatal. It was funny and it was fun. At the same time, when I met Kessler at a Magic card store, I had an album out, a second one I was writing, and I was touring, and I had moved to Los Angeles to be a musician.
Ben's a musician.
You
should all yell at him for not giving us some like cool segue songs for different segments of the podcast.
I still play music, but not in the way that I used to. And so I had a record out that was, we used to call it, the genre was acoustic electro sex pop. It was just like, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's an album.
You're getting a copy of this album.
There's
and
only
Top Decking, and we're gonna give a cool pack as well.
The album
Magic relevant.
The album totally sold out at the time because we didn't make that many of them. But I kept like 25 copies to have, and I was like, you know what? This is like people that support us, and they want us to do more cool things. So we figured you could have a piece of each
like,
of our
this
creative
is like
pasts.
A beginnings of Ben and Kessler. Patreon
and you also
Award
get
Week.
And you also get a Modern Masters pack.
Yeah.
So you get something that's Magic related.
Modern Masters 2.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a thing. If you guys think that that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard and we're just being super self-aggrandizing, don't hide your thoughts. Share them on Twitter.
Yeah, because we don't want to give you stuff you don't want since you guys are donating for them. But that's the $50 level swag box Patreon level. So
yeah.
You get cool stuff. Last time you got sick water bottle, steel water bottles with their logos on them. The week before that, you got the month before that, you got Spellskites and Geist. Not Spellskites.
Grand Geist Architects.
Grand Architects foil signed. But yeah, let's move on to the subject of the cast now. We've delayed enough. Today we're talking about getting Blood Moon out of Modern. That's why that was the dark reference earlier, because Blood Moon first came from the dark. It is an enchantment. It cost 1 red, 2 colorless, and it says all non-basic lands are mountains.
Here's the hilarious thing. So those of us who have done Chaos Drafts before all know that in the days like 7 years ago when you do a Chaos Draft, you'd be able to get 2 packs of the dark for like not very much money. Like they were a little more expensive than normal packs, but they weren't like crazy expensive like revised packs. Because
Blood Moon was the only...
Maze of Ith was the only card anybody wanted. Because Blood Moon wasn't worth anything at the time.
Well, there's that beast that makes artifacts shrouded.
Nah, I mean...
That card's like $40 because the art's like purple monster.
Maybe it is now. I'm just saying back in the day, the only card you'd want to open was Maze of Ith.
Okay.
So that you just... Basically, the Alliances thing with Force of Will was like that with Maze of Ith. It's hilarious that now, if you open a Maze of Ith, it's not even the best card... Not even close to the best card value-wise anymore in that pack.
It's Blood Moon.
Yeah, it's Blood Moon by a mile. Blood Moon's like $80, isn't it?
No.
It was as high as $80 at one point.
Scott's currently calling on my phone, so I can't look up the price
of things. Yeah, I'm going to look up what we talk.
All right, so Scott here, say hi, Scott.
Yes.
Is here because you on my Twitter rants in the past have been one of the pro Blood Moon people that also does Magic content creation. So we figured to have you on to defend your side.
$56 from the dark, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Still sick. But yeah, so that's what today is about. We're going to talk about, I personally, and the people of the cast probably know this, think that Blood Moon is terrible for Modern. I think it warps the format in a way that's unhealthy, and a significant amount of complaints from people for the format come from indirectly Blood Moon existing. I think that, and so yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Scott, I guess we should do, since this is kind of a debate, should we do like... opening statements, flip a coin kind of thing, where we flip a coin and goes first and we see like opening statements.
And just see like where does each person stand on Blood Moon?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Sure, we can do that.
All right, Scott, heads or tails for first?
Heads.
All right.
It's tails.
It's a tails.
So I guess.
So I take 2 points of damage, right?
Yes.
Oh, no, wait, that's not this card. Okay.
actually, it's 3 points of damage.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Mana Clash,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, Mana Crypt is what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sticking with the Eternal Masters. Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Super relevant right now. So, am I going first, or do you want to make it? I think Ben should make his first opening statement.
I should make my opening statement?
Yeah, you go first, and I'll go after you.
Okay, so your point is that it is absolutely bad for coverage, and it's bad for gameplay. What I will say about Blood Moon, my thoughts on Blood Moon are this. As somebody who is frustrated by games of Magic that end when somebody plays one card, nothing feels better than beating somebody that way in a competitive situation because all of the stress and gameplay is gone. Nothing feels worse than losing that way. There's nothing that is worse for a game than making people that actively try to get better at the game, that do everything they can to work on the small pieces of the game to improve their gameplay, to understand the game more, to have their strategy literally put to bed by one card. And there's very, very, very few cards that exist in Modern that hit as wide of a spectrum of threats as a mana base. So you can think of something like Stony Silence for artifacts, which is a giant pain. And if you're an Affinity player, you hate Stony Silence. If you build a mana base that's remotely complex and somebody plays a Blood Moon against you and you're not ready, you just lose. It's the worst. Even the cards that are close knockoffs like Choke, where... it's still going to be a problem. Choke is so specific. Blood Moon is just like... the point is, Blood Moon shouldn't exist in Modern because there's... it negates too much of what makes Modern a great format. People will say that you need to be punished for being too greedy with your mana base. There are better ways to punish players. There are more intelligent cards that can be printed. There are other things that can be introduced to the format. It's an important format, and I think this is one of the weakest parts of it. So I think Blood Moon should be banned.
Okay, all right. So, I'm going to do a sandwich. I think I'm going to go last. Scott, you go. Your turn.
Okay. With Blood Moon, we have a card that's in the color of red, which is known for land destruction. Wizards of the Coast doesn't really like to print land destruction type cards anymore. In fact, the last time that we had a card from a land standpoint that destroyed a non-basic land was what, from a core set, and it cost 4 to even activate.
Yeah, Encroaching so Wastes. It's the worst version of Tectonic Edge.
Right.
Wasteland.
So with a card like this, I look at Blood Moon as a card similar to Wasteland, where you have to fetch smart, and unless you're playing Grixis or Tron, you know, you're probably going to get beaten by a Blood Moon, and even Tron can still beat it with Oblivion Stone. Blood Moon is one of those cards that's difficult to play, not only difficult to play because you have to worry about enchantment removal, but difficult to also play with, or play against, I should say, because you may not have that removal spell, or your removal spells may be very key or specific or few and far between, especially in games 2 and 3. But that's the great part of the game. As fictional baseball character Jimmy Dugan put it, it's the difficult that makes it great, or something like that. I haven't seen The League of Their Own in a while. But with this card, though, it keeps Wizards from printing land destruction spells to try and prevent some of the craziness that's going around as far as the mana bases, especially in decks like Tron. Like, the closest we've got is Crumble to Dust, and Jund is usually only playing one copy. Nahiri is playing maybe one or two copies. So they're trying not to push that boundary of unfairness, but keeping it on one card. Blood Moon's perfectly fine. There's only a few decks that play it, and there's enough removal in the format, in the right colors anyway, to deal with it.
All right, so my turn. And then we'll get past our opening statements. So
okay.
My opponents here say that, you know, Blood Moon is something that can be beaten. You need Blood Moon to fight against these unfair mana decks like Tron and Scapeshift. You need Blood Moon to be Red's version of its best land destruction spell. It helps make the format a healthier place and keeps people honest by making them not play too many lands of high, you know, playing perfect mana bases. But here's the deal to all those statements. Blood Moon, A, is maybe one of the reasons fetch lands are so ubiquitous in the format. And fetch lands being the biggest barrier entry to get into the format beyond like Tarmogoyf. They're the dual lands of this format in the sense that you need to drop upwards of $1,000 to be able to build your mana base to play this format because you have to play fetch lands. And one of the reasons you have to play fetch lands, and a two-color deck you have to play fetch lands, is because Blood Moon exists. You have to be able to, on turn 1, 2, and 3, make sure you can get a basic land while also being able to, against every other matchup in the format, just get the land you need. Second, against Tron and Scapeshift, these are the decks. Tron no longer has a problem with Blood Moon. It doesn't. Tron's going to beat you if you cast Blood Moon because they have Worldbreaker main deck, which means that they can fetch for their basic forest, no problem, because they have expedition maps.
Right.
They have the, or create green mana off of any of their baubles that they play, and cast Worldbreaker, exiling Blood Moon, and they're fine. They also have Karn. Like, eventually they're going to get to 6 mana. You're eventually going to lose to Tron. So Tron isn't being, like, the unfair mana decks that people say Blood Moon needs to be around to fight, it's not doing anything to the fight. The thing it's doing is causing decks like Jund, causing decks like Grixis, causing decks like Jeskai to just auto-lose sometimes on coverage because they didn't get the right fetch land at the right time, or they didn't fetch because it was game one and someone's playing main deck Blood Moons. That's the problem. When people compare it to Choke and Stony Silence, you're talking about a card that people are main decking.
Right.
Stony Silence isn't main decked in anyone's deck. Choke isn't main decked in anyone's deck. These are sideboard cards, while Blood Moon is good enough that Blue Moon has been in the top 8 of the last three of the last 4 modern Pro Tours, just off the back that Blood Moon wins.
Yep.
And, I mean, if you look at coverage, it's terrible for coverage. Now, there's an argument to be made that because there's no longer a Pro Tour, coverage matters less for modern, but I think that's disingenuous towards how great this format is to watch and the views that GPs of this format get, which are generally high.
You're great. And also, on top of which, if we're really looking forward to the future, which I think all of us that play Magic and love Magic and are kind of in this golden age of it right now are looking forward to, I think we're all expecting in the next 2 to 3 years there will be an expansion beyond, of competitive play at a high level beyond just the SCG circuit and Pro Tour. I think we're expecting there will be larger events, there will be bigger coverage, the game will continue to grow in its coverage, and I think it's important to keep that in mind, because Modern is the most interesting format to watch. People like Standard, but Modern is definitely the most interesting to watch. Something I wanted to bring up quickly was that and this is an argument I've made before when people talk about this was when they changed the PPTQ system. They changed the old PTQ to the PPTQ to the RPTQ, right? And my big thing was that I got so annoyed because I was like, look, if I want to have that dream of showing up to the limited PTQ, playing really well, you know, having a great pool, making it to the top eight, and actually having a chance to win a PTQ, you know, just outright, if I just run really hot that day. Whereas the idea was that, you know, the PPTQ system, then going to an RPTQ, it's extremely difficult in that competitive of a field. You know, you're weeding out the parity and you're making it a much, much more skill testing game. Well, in this example, people argued against me saying that you shouldn't be arguing for people that aren't the most talented. You should be arguing for the people that are the most prepared. Well, you can make the same argument for like the prepared players know how to play around Blood Moon, which is fine. But what about the players that get into Modern and they get their cards and they think it's really awesome and they don't play Modern all the time? They understand the format a little bit. They have their deck. Maybe they
FNM level Modern.
FNM level, and they build something that they think is really cool, and they don't realize that if they don't build their deck specifically with Blood Moon in mind, that they get beaten in games 2 and 3 because the other guy resolves a Blood Moon and they spend all this time and energy building something they were excited about. Some brew, anything, that plays a mana base that doesn't necessarily have a way to answer Blood Moon. And like, cards like that just shouldn't be a thing. Because again, if you're going to get beaten against a Choke or a Stony Silence, it's so specific. Blood Moon can beat most interesting decks. Most interesting decks just lose to it. So I think that's another destructive element, is that you have all these new players who are buying Modern Masters 2 packs, and they're gonna buy Modern Masters 2017 packs when they announce that. And it's just, as this format grows, that card feels like it's an outdated part of Magic, that there isn't a better answer they've come up with yet, and that's why it continues to stick around in Modern.
Yeah, but I understand your point. However, there's a thing about Magic that you hit that learning curve when you start attending FNMs and you meet a bunch of friends. You start learning your deck. There's a little bit of patience that needs to be involved. Like when I was playing Jund against the Splinter Twin deck, I always try to keep a green and a black open regardless if they were duels or basics, just so I can beat their threat before they cast Splinter Twin, or as they're casting Splinter Twin.
Or at least represent
them. I try and treat Blood Moon the same way. And even in Legacy, a little bit with Blood Moon, you know, there are very few things in that format that can hit it. Cross and Grip being the big example of that one that the Lance players have. So you have to be prepared for it. If you're not, yeah, you're going to get beat, but that's all part of learning experience. Magic should be a game that you should look at the 50 minutes that you have and try and get as much learning in and much playing as possible, instead of, unless you're an aggro deck, like maybe Elves or something, or Affinity, that you're not trying to rush through the match just so you can go eat or smoke or whatever's going on there. Yes, you don't want to go to tie. That's perfectly fine. But if you're casting all your threats and tapping out every turn and you're being efficient with your mana on your turns, yeah, you're going to get beaten by the card. And that's kind of what makes the card as good as it is.
I mean, I guess my rebuttal to that statement is there's a difference between me getting punished because my opponent made a good play of countering the right spell at the right time that my deck hinged on doing well in, versus my opponent cast one card that completely, you know, didn't cost them any effort. They didn't have to wait to cast it. They didn't plan out when to cast it at the right time. For them, it literally just, they drew the card and cast it. That completely locks me out of the game. I guess my issue with Blood Moon is it gives an opponent, or gives a player, if I'm playing Blood Moon, the win for very, very, very little cost on my part, while my opponent, it puts all the onus on my opponent, and that takes a lot of skill out of winning from this game.
Also, keep in mind that, like, issues like this are important to remember, that if you look at this from an uneducated point of view, like somebody who you're explaining Magic to, like, all right, this is an uneducated in terms of Magic, in the context of this game, not uneducated in the world. So if you're sitting there, if you're sitting there with your significant other, and it's you know, the top eight of a pro tour, and when Modern was a pro tour, and it's like game 3 and you're really excited and you're explaining why the matchup is so great, and you're like, oh, this is so great, and they don't really understand how Magic works. And opening hands, they draw the hands. One guy, like, turn 3, resolves Blood Moon. The most boring gameplay ever happens. 5 turns later, game's over. And she looks at you and she says, I don't understand what happened. And you're like, well, he drew Blood Moon. And she's like, but I don't know. Why is that just the best card? Why doesn't the other guy have that card? And he's like, well, no, that's he just drew Blood Moon. I mean, that's, I don't know. It's just really good.
Well, like, not to mention if you want to explain it to someone, and yes, you could explain the cost of all the other cards, but like a lot of complaints people have is like, oh, just whoever is the most expensive card is going to win.
Yeah.
Which isn't true. But in this situation, it's, oh, so how do they win? Oh, they cast a $50 card that you can't afford. And like, if you cast it, you automatically win. So it's like, yeah, it's like kind of the rich get richer in like, yeah, the worst way, because it is a win card. It's a win button.
Yeah. It's a win button. And I think that when you think about that from the point of view of somebody who's watching, and like, when your explanation is like, well, there's just this card that exists and it's random and he just happened to draw it and he knew he might draw it and he knew that it was totally a gamble and then he just drew it. So that he won. Like, that's not very sweet. That doesn't make Magic sound very complex or interesting or
and
like.
Because, so here's the deal. Because it's an enchantment is kind of its biggest sin. I think Magus of the Moon is a completely fine card.
Well, of course it is. It's a creature.
All right, but it's a 2/2 creature, so it is more aggressive. Like, it does things, like, there are, like, 99% of the time, you'd rather have a creature than another thing, because a creature can kill your opponent. So, yes, the biggest thing against it is that it dies the Lightning Bolt. But, great. This is a card that I can cast, and there's an interaction, so I have to cast it and then protect it. There is a cost. I have to have a spell scan in play. I have to have a counter spell ready once I untap with him. I have to do stuff to protect him from removal spells. Have what's the one green gives a thing hexproof?
Ranger's Gal.
Well, but you can kick it to give plus four.
Oh, Vines of Asswood?
Yeah, I have to have a Vines of Asswood. Oh. I mean, Ranger's Gal works too.
Vines of Asswood. Okay.
More specifically, you have to have a card that protects it. Vines of Westwood is a card that does that. So
I'll just kill with Colgan's Command. That's fine.
Sure. I mean, Colgan's Command can't kill it through Vines of Westwood.
Well, yeah.
It can kill through Spell Scan. Well, but that's spot, great. But that's a gold card. So the only, you know, you have to be either Jund or Grixis, and you can handle a Magus of the Moon, which is fine, because Jund can also handle it with Lightning Bolt. Like, there's a play there. There's many different choices that can be made with this one card versus Blood Moon, which it's literally, did you fetch a basic in your first two turns? Nope. All right, you lose. Do you have any card in your deck that can kill an enchantment? Nope. All right, you probably just lost. Is your one card, do you have Abrupt Decay, but you accidentally fetched Plains Forest instead of Forest Swamp because you were playing against Burn, Nya Burn shouldn't be playing Blood Moon, but Nya Burn plays Blood Moon. Affinity shouldn't be playing Blood Moon, but Affinity decks sometimes play Blood Moon, which is a sign of how unhealthy this card is.
All right, well, let's do something really quickly. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Blood Moon does in fact get banned. All right, so Blood Moon gets kicked out of the format, and now we're looking and we're thinking, all right, what are the first off the best things to replace Blood Moon without printing a new card? So what are the obvious go to cards that get played in its place against greedy mana bases?
Ghost Quarter.
Okay, so Ghost Quarter, right? That's fine.
Scott?
Wow. In blue, Spreading Seas.
Yeah, Spreading Seas is great. I'm a big fan of that card. Magus of the Moon.
Magus of the Moon. Beast Within, if we want to get saucy.
Sure, Beast Within's a card.
I can one-up you there. Contaminated Ground.
Yeah, Contaminated Ground's fine.
Yeah.
That card's fine. You could what's it called? I like this card, the 3-mana land destruction spell, 2 damage if it's a non-basic, Molten Rain.
Molten Rain.
I like Molten Rain.
Well, Stone Rain and Molten Rain are both modern, aren't they?
Yeah, Stone's Rain of Tears.
Yeah.
Rain of Tears, Tech Edge.
Yeah, Tech Edge. But these are all cards that get played in various sideboards that don't play red.
What's the red black creature?
Yeah, Fulminator Mage.
Fulminator Mage. That's a staple of the format.
There's Boom Bust you can play with fetches. Anathomancer. I like Anathomancer. You can play Boom Bust with fetches.
And in this format, the format we're talking about called Modern, where the fetch Shockland mana base just pretty much guarantees most decks playing more than two colors are going to be at 15 life total from the beginning. Play an aggro deck. Mm-hmm. Just Nya Burn or Zoo is a or Goblin 8 Rack are all like decks that punish you for playing greedy mana bases.
So yeah, right. So those are all cards that are going to get played in its place. Without Blood Moon, what's the deck that becomes the strongest? What decks become nearly unbeatable without Blood Moon?
I don't think the format changes that much from what it is right now.
Which of those 3-color decks becomes the most oppressive?
I guess Collected Company, but I think Collected Company is not losing to Blood Moon anyways, because Birds of Paradise and all the mana creatures. I mean, Jund gets better.
Jund is the one that came to mind.
We're already number one anyway.
Right. So Junk maybe gets slightly better. Like, none of these decks, I think, get really changed as far as their position of the format. We just get a format that's more fun, more healthy, and better for coverage.
Right.
And better for newer players, I guess, to play in. Like, I don't think that is an argument, though, for not banning anything.
Right.
And I do agree with this to a certain extent, is currently we have a very healthy modern format. I think we can all agree that modern looks is great right now. It's in a great place.
It's awesome.
So why ban a card if the format's great?
I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is that every single format in the history of Eternal formats, ones that have a lot of play and a lot of depth, they have points. They have decks and points, certain cards that make the game boring. That's the biggest... I honestly think that is Blood Moon's biggest sin. You say it's an enchantment. I think that you're talking about the gameplay and coverage stuff.
Okay. I guess its enchantment is a sin inherent to why it's the way it is versus what it causes it's great. Yeah, sure.
So, but if you look at it and you think about, like, okay, what's the argument that Lantern Control is any better than Sensei's Divining Top? What's the answer that Lantern's Control is any better than Blood Moon? You know, at that point, it's like, okay, why is Lantern Control any better than Eggs? Like, it's yes, there's play to it. It's interesting. But
effort.
What?
Effort.
On Lantern Control's part?
Yeah, you have to put effort into making Lantern Control work. You have to draw the right pieces. You have to play your cards correctly. You have to make sure your opponent's not doing something.
That's the same thing that Eggs had to do.
Sure.
That's the same thing that Storm has to do.
If we want to talk about Lantern should be banned for the same reasons Eggs would be banned, fine. But that's not why I'm arguing Blood Moon should be banned.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying because Blood Moon uses just a card you play...
Yeah, I think card that says I win needs to take skill. Splinter Twin took way more skill than Blood Moon does to win, because you have to, you know, time it, make sure you cast your spell at the end of your opponent's turn, making sure they don't have removal open, you know, like, there's a lot more. And even then, Splinter Twin was probably slightly too good, because you could do everything at instant speed for all intents and purposes.
Right.
Blood Moon doesn't need any of that.
Yep.
You need to make sure your opponent doesn't have enchantment removal or counterspell open when you cast a 3-drop, which in Modern isn't the hardest thing to accomplish. Especially because counter magic isn't good in Modern.
Unfortunately.
Right. We just don't... I mean, like, all the counter... We have tempo counter spells available. We don't have any hard counters that are under a 4-drop.
If that's the cards that would replace it in theory, and if that's what the format looks like, we think, without it, what would logic tell us is the smartest thing to do? Logic tells us that
logic
don't change anything. Logic not with a K.
We said we need a counterspell. Sorry. Okay.
If you're going to ban anything, ban Become Immense. I mean, that card's way more unfair than Blood Moon.
It's true. That card is totally nuts.
I guess my opinion on ban other cards instead of Blood Moon is that there's always going to be other cards that need to be banned, and I'm not making the argument that we shouldn't ban those cards. Other than the fact that I think the format's healthy right now, and banning something due to power level seems incorrect at the moment. Though Become Immense is definitely, I think, a card on that list. Also, I think, not Collected Company, the Green XX. I'm having a hard time. I was at a theme park yesterday, so I'm a little theme park.
What, Quarter Calling?
Yeah, Quarter Calling is another card that I think could be argued. It. I don't necessarily believe it can, but I've seen arguments that have made sense for it being banned. It homogenizes the deck. I mean, Collected Company and Birthing Pod decks have been the best deck, or one of the best decks in the format.
For a long time.
Forever, and... It makes it the way it allows Malira combo decks to win versus just other things to win is possibly too consistent. But
let's take this conversation.
My point is that all these at different times might need to be banned or not, and we can handle those at those times when they become too powerful. But Blood Moon has consistently been this problem, not from a power, and there are power level problems, and it is too powerful, arguably. But it has this whole other host of issues. Because it's not the most powerful card in Modern. It's not winning every tournament. We don't have Blue Moon winning every game.
No.
The problem, though, is the way it wins, I think, is bad for the health of the format, which is a different... which is more of an Eggs problem.
Right.
More of a Sensei's Divining Top problem than it is a Treasure Cruise problem.
So let's take this conversation to the next part of it, which is something that we started to talk about last week. When we were discussing which cards we thought should be Modern legal that are currently... not that are basically Eternal Masters cards. So if you think about Modern and how wide of a format it is, you're talking about 30 plus decks that are viable, 30 decks that are at least between sort of at least tier one and tier two on some given week, because it always rotates. So if that's the case and you have that many decks that are viable, as a lot of the pros have complained, you can't have a sideboard that's going to answer all of those decks. You just can't. You're going to have holes right. in your strategy, inevitably. It's just part of the balance of the format. Paper beats rock, rock beats scissors, so on and so forth. So with that in mind, how many decks is Blood Moon actually oppressive against? How much more oppressive against those decks is it than the other sideboard hate against the other decks? And if that's the case, if the answer is that Blood Moon is oppressive against, I don't know, 20% of the decks or something, or 16% of the decks, then are we really talking about something that actually causes a problem? Because I could make the same argument that Stony Silence is oppressive probably against almost the same number of decks. Not the same number. Not the same number, because I...
Two?
Sure, but decks that play artifacts, sure. I realize that's what I said in the first place, because lands are the most widespread threat in the format. They're played... Mana bases are played in every deck.
It's
like,
an inherent piece of...
Right.
Magic.
And complicated ones are very common. But I guess my point is...
When lands are not playing lands, or decks are not playing lands, the format has a problem. Not
the point that I made last week, which is that if you introduce Price of Progress into Modern somehow, right? Because the idea being that if we didn't have Blood Moon and Prop was legal...
Probably through Standard.
This is something we talked about. Burn being a deck that's already good would... I don't think it would mean players would be like, well, Price of Progress is legal now, so I'm just going to not play a complicated mana base. I'm going to play a really simple mana base so I can dodge Burn. They'd just be like, all right, Burn is already a problem matchup for me because I play a complicated mana base that brings my life total to 15. It just is even more of a problem. So,
Price of Progress also makes you choose between playing Naya Burn and Mono Red Burn, which theoretically...
Yeah. I'm using the prop argument. We did this last week. Yeah. I'm just using it as an example. The point is, if you ban Blood Moon, what does it necessarily fix? What does banning Blood Moon fix? And I guess because you're still going to have the same level of players saying, okay, but you know, decks X, Y, and Z are still problems for me. They're still problem matchups for me. So I'm just going to build my deck hoping I don't run up against those decks because I can't prepare for everything. And I think a lot of people feel that way about Blood Moon. They have an answer to it, but they're just like, look, if he draws it, I don't have my answer. It is what it is. And I don't think banning Blood Moon is going to change the fact that people are still going to have that same attitude about other cards. There's still going to be decks that they just can't beat. Main deck strategies, let alone sideboard cards, that are just bad matchups for them. No?
No, I agree. Like, as the way Modern is right now, there's really no card or cards outside of Become Immense, because going back to the whole coverage thing, we want the coverage to be a little bit more interactive, a little bit more enticing for viewers. Kind of hard to do that when Infect can win on like turn two or three. But with Blood Moon, it doesn't really do a lot. People who are scooping immediately after it's played aren't playing to their outs, or they're not prepared for it in some way, shape, or form. Modern is filled with so many cards that have multiple ways to deal with permanents, from Maelstrom Pulse to Disenchant, which everybody seems to forget about that card, or even Wear Tear. There are tons of cards that you can interact with multiple types of permanents with, and if we're not being smart enough as players, we're allowing those who are going to tournaments to spike them with Blood Moons to just kind of take those wins from us. And if we're tilting when someone plays a Blood Moon instead of trying to be smart and figure it out, you know, that's a disservice to us.
But Blood Moon's
fine. If it's banned, it won't really... Like, Tron will probably be really happy. Grixis will, of course, be really happy. But if Blood Moon is banned, I don't really think it's going to push another deck up. There's nothing being really repressed right now with Blood Moon being in play.
You mentioned Disenchant. That's actually funny you just said that. I just looked it up. I can't believe that card hasn't been printed. It got printed in Time Spiral, Time Shifted, and aside from that, Mercadian right. Masks in 7th were the last time that card got printed. Why did they stop printing Disenchant? Was it a color thing? They wanted
Disenchant white.
They wanted it to be a green effect?
Because they decided it naturalizes the color.
Got it.
Is the card. Green is better right. than white at dealing with both. White is better at dealing each one individually or dealing with everything.
Got it.
Just from a...
Disenchant buyout incoming?
Yeah, buy it now while you still can. Disenchant.
Right.
There's 3 foil printings of Disenchant.
I guess in response, I mean, some of the cards you mentioned were gold, but the point is playing to your outs is sitting there until your opponent kills you, until you draw the exact 2 mana-based lands that you need. When most mana bases in Modern, and by most I mean almost all of them, really only play at most 5 basics.
At most, right. Yeah, most of them.
Unless you're a deck that Blood Moon, if Blood Moon's a problem for you. Obviously Elves doesn't have a problem with Blood Moon, unless it's, I guess, Blue Moon, because they shut down the Counterspell land Cavernicles, but even then, Elves doesn't care about Blood Moon. Merfolk doesn't care about Blood Moon. But the decks that care about it generally are playing at most five, and that's like if you're leaning really heavy to fight against Blood Moon decks, which I don't like. My point from the beginning is it's a skill level thing. I also think that, you know, arguments of if you're playing Blood Moon, Blood Moon doesn't exist, people don't have a reason to play basics, but Path is the best removal in the format. Ghost Quarter is the best land destruction spell in the format, and both of them punish you way worse than they're already punishing you if you don't have basic lands. So you're already encouraged to kind of play those. From my perspective, Blood Moon, this argument was a lot easier, and I was a lot more hard on it before Splintertwin was banned, because there was a blue-red deck in the format that was tier one.
Sometimes main decking Blood Moons.
Right. And I guess the point is a card that is being forced into people's decks because it's that good is a card to definitely look at as a ban-worthy card. The fact that Naya Burn, a deck that loses the Blood Moon, is still casting Blood Moons. The fact that
Affinity, a deck
that Blood Moon is good against, is sideboarding Blood Moons in.
I always tell that story on here about that PTQ from a few years ago where I played that like Moon Zoo deck that was like basically three main deck Blood Moons, Deathrite Shamans, like two birds, the best creatures, and a couple swords, so that you had like things to suit it up. And like your strategy with the deck was like you hoped you drew a mana creature and a Blood Moon, and like you would just you would basically hope that you fetch the correct land to go with your Deathrite Shaman or your Bird of Paradise, and then you would just turn two Blood Moon and like turned off like 35% of your deck, but you didn't care. You were just like, I have good creatures and Blood Moons in play, so I'm going to probably win the game. And it was like one of the more successful PTQ runs I've ever had. Pick the deck up like that morning. Like, it's just a really silly card in that sense.
Yeah, it's people always bring up Chokin and Stony Sands. We brought up them. We've said this point is that, you know, these are cards that also do that.
Yep.
You can just cast them and you win. Against Affinity, if you cast Stony Silence, your chances of losing are significantly...
They're small. Yeah.
Small. But
right. No
one's main decking it. And Blood Moon's a main deck card. And when you look at Become Immense, there's interaction there. And that's the other level. I keep going back to these two points, and so we should move on a little bit. But with Become Immense, they cast Become Immense. I Lightning Bolt it. On turn two, I have to tap out or, like, for some reason, not have a way to kill it in my colors to be able to fight against Infect. And I can see Become Immense becoming a problem because it does break the turn four rule. But I would argue that Blood Moon also breaks the turn four rule.
I have softened.
Just because you don't scoop doesn't mean you didn't lose.
I've softened my stance. I'm not entirely on your side, but I think I'm between the two of you. I think that... I don't think it needs to be banned. I understand the reasons why it should be banned. I could be convinced. And if it got banned, I don't think I would be super disappointed. Modern's really healthy right now, and I don't think Blood Moon makes it less healthy. That's my stance right now. I think I can... Everything I said about why I think Blood Moon's a problem for the format, I still stand by. But Modern's really healthy right now. So those theory crafting ideas of why Blood Moon's an issue, they don't really hold water. The one that really stands out for me is the coverage one. That's the biggest problem for me. I think from a coverage point of view, if you really wanted to make Modern, you really wanted to get away from Modern games being ruined on coverage, then you ban Blood Moon. That's the only reason I can think of that it truly causes a major problem to the format as it stands right now.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And we're going to get that coverage coming up next weekend. SCG is doing a Modern event in Dallas, I believe.
Yep.
So we're going to definitely get a few days worth of that. Now, granted, from a coverage or tournament organizer side of things, you know, one could be like, let's see, what's doing well? Well, we'll skip this Blue Moon deck because we don't want to see that. But, I mean, you can't do that all the time. So
I can understand. Sorry, continue.
Right. No, that's right. So, I mean, there is that. But if we're going to ban Blood Moon, I like to compromise. As a husband and father, I've had years of practice doing that. If you're going to ban Blood Moon, just give me Blood Raid Elf. We'll be fine.
I'll take that deal. I'll take that deal right now.
Blood Raid Elf. Okay. So much.
All right.
Deal. All right. Wizards of the Coast, it was made here between us. Too bad. Blood Raid Elf is unbanned. Blood Moon is banned.
There you go. Easy peasy.
So before we wrap up, I am actually I'm gonna call you out. I'm gonna read a tweet from you from January 11th, 2016.
Oh,
Scott
boy.
Campbell. And you're just gonna have to give us advice on this one. People who hate Blood Moon don't know how to play around it. That was the tweet at the MMCast. Can you explain the best ways to play around Blood Moon?
Play Jund? No, I mean. I only say that because I've had the deck literally forever. But no, literally be prepared for it. Like, if your opening seven has creatures you're going to be able to use to win the game, but you don't have a way to deal with Blood Moon, you don't have a way to just interact with your opponent at all, it may be a good idea to shift it. It really depends on the situation, of course, who's playing first, things like that. But you have to be prepared for it. Like, I literally, in Legacy, I literally took a beating, like, for a month straight, Wasteland and Stifle. I just could not get off the ground until I just started fetching basics first. And it's like, all right, they didn't have the Stifle, then I have a land in play.
Right.
Yes, Modern is a fetch Shockland format. That's not going away anytime soon. Like, all the best decks, except for, what, maybe Infect and maybe, like, a Mono-Red Burn here or there, are all pretty much fetch Shockland formats. If you're not fetching properly, that's on you. And granted, I've not won any big events or anything like that, and I'm sitting here in my apartment in Ohio saying how to fetch properly, and people could just be like, ah, whatever. But that's just how I go about it. And sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. But as long as I have those basics in play, I can be at ease when it comes down to things like Ghost Quarter, Blood Moon, and other lane destruction things.
I feel like actually fetching a basic is worse against Ghost Quarter. Because they can Ghost Quarter, because now you have less basics to get against Ghost Quarter.
True.
And they can Ghost Quarter your basic. So say you only have one of each color, they could like just out you. Oh man, now I want to build a Ghost Quarter Blood Moon deck.
I wonder if anybody's ever going to build the, like, is ever going to be able to make Trick Bind work as a Modern Stifle?
I've always looked at that card. I'm always like, I think there needs to be a major card that Stifle hurts.
Yeah.
Beyond just the fetch land situation, like some type of combo deck that has an activation that you can stop. But yeah. I was always surprised it didn't see more play when Birthing Pod was around, because you sack the creature and then you can stifle the trigger, so they're like creature sack.
I'm also totally surprised now that I think about it that, in fact, if you were going to go down the Trick Bind route, why wouldn't you just play Squelch? Squelch and Shadow of Doubt.
Yeah.
Squelch is sweeter. I mean, Trick Bind is definitely sweeter because it is activated and triggered and at a split second, but you don't even know what Squelch is. I can look on your face.
Counter target.
Activated ability. For one blue, one colorless, draw a card.
Yeah.
Cantrips. Yep. And it's an instant. So, one? Of course, it's an instant.
This is a sorcery counter spell.
But, and Shadow of Doubt. I mean, which we all know Shadow of Doubt. Yeah. So, some combination of the two.
Another card we didn't mention that's also good against mana bases that isn't Blood Moon.
I think I've tried to build on it. I think I've pretty much... In fact, I don't think. I'm positive. There's at least two different versions of this brew that's hidden somewhere and decked in the back of my phone where I've tried to start with those eight. Like, and some combination of those things. And, you know, it's just terrible against certain decks. And just against some decks, you just are just a total house. Problem is, turn two on the draw doing that is so much worse than turn one in Legacy. That's the issue.
Sure.
I think we could do this. If we ban Blood Moon, I think we could actually have another deck enter the format. Back in the days when it was in Standard, I was actually beaten by a Defense Grid Magnifor Stone Rain type deck, where it was just nothing but boomerangs and land destructions and wildfire. And here's this giant dude that, because I have all these sorcerers in the graveyard now, I'm just going to beat your face with. You know, maybe we can take the land destruction that way, because we've actually seen a lot of red-green decks kind of do this lately on Modo, and they've been popping up and labeled as brew decks or whatever. You know, maybe something like that could come out. While you don't have Blood Moon, you still are attacking the mana base in a way where there's a little bit more interaction, which is also good for coverage. But it's not just, here's this Blood Moon, you lose. So there could be room for other decks, I guess, if we could get rid of it.
And I do think the best argument I've heard today on this podcast, this is me conceding a little, is that the format is healthy right now. It is.
Yes.
Like, and to be totally honest, cards shouldn't be banned because faith in the format needs to be built up, and people have dropped multiple hundreds of dollars on their playsets of Blood Moons. And if the Blood Moon deck isn't dominating the format, then why should we ban it? Fine. I can't beat that. I can't concede. I also couldn't, when Eldrazi was around, I shut up about banning Blood Moon because, like, theoretically, that problem could happen again where we have the new land, the sacrifice five tokens, get a 9/10 or whatever. That's another land that theoretically could be a problem. Like, without a Wasteland or a Stifle, I do think Stifle is a card. Like, with Daze, Stifle and Dave in the format, would be sweet. Oh, man.
Yeah. Sick, right?
I was thinking about before we got on this podcast how much I wish Days was in this format and how much I regret not putting it on my top 10 list last week.
Because you just conceded it because I put it on mine?
Yeah, and I was like, wait, I could argue about Days being legal in Modern forever. Because it just slows the format down. Also, I have answers to your Toxis Deluge points that we might do after we finish this Blood Moon conversation. But the format's healthy right now, so really there shouldn't be any bannings. This is more,
right.
As soon as we get to a point where we might ban something, just sneaking Blood Moon onto that ban list is kind of what I'm asking for, because I do think it's bad for the format. I don't think it's dominating the format. I don't think it's the strongest thing you can do in the format, but I think what it is doing with the format isn't healthy and fun for anyone, other than maybe the person casting it, but theoretically Treasure Cruise was amazing when you casted it. Deathrite Shaman felt great when you had it in play.
I love Deathrite.
Birthing Pod was maybe one of the most fun cards I've ever had in the battlefield under my control, and still is in other formats. But not good for the format, and we can all kind of admit that. So,
has anybody opened, either of you opened a foil Deathrite yet from your Eternal Masters pack?
No, but I have a playset of Signed two different colors, because it's sick. It's so cool.
Sweet. What's the sweetest foil you've opened so far? Eternal Masters. Either of you? Anything?
I've actually opened zero Eternal Masters.
Oh.
Yeah. I opened the foil Pyroblast, I think it was
the got the foil Hydroblast. So.
That card's real good.
Yeah. I'm really love that both of those. Yeah. I got it eighth. I didn't even actually open it. That's not true. I drafted it eighth pick.
Yeah.
Everyone at the table passed it, not realizing that it was a $50 card. And
wow.
I was like, there's never been a foil of this card before. This was like the Midnight release, so people didn't even like realize that like, oh yeah, foils of non-foil cards are worth a bunch of money.
I said this last week on the cast, but Kessler bought me one pack of Eternal Masters for my birthday, and I opened a foil Hydroblast and like threw it in my trash foils pile until like we got here, started talking, and realized like that's $25.
Yeah. Oh, I opened a foil Control Magic. I guess that's the best foil I've opened out of a pack. That's $15.
That's sweet. Because
there's no foil of it before today.
Yeah.
So sick hotness. All right. On Toxis Deluge, real quick. All it would do is slow the format down. And that's what I want. I want Modern to be a little bit slower than it is. And Days and Toxic Deluge and all that. Because like anything over five is bad with Toxic Deluge.
Well,
if you're dumbing yourself for five
Somebody
mana,
tweeted at us about this.
Yeah, no.
And you saw my response. And you got excited because you wanted to try to shoot me down.
And your response was wrong.
It was a good response, I thought. No,
tell your response.
I believe my response. He said if Toxic Deluge was legal in Modern, would fours and fives be more playable? And I believe my response was something to the effect of like, fours maybe, fives no, because the fives that do have a place in Modern are very specific. So it's just...
But that's because people are dying by turn two. But if you have a board wipe on turn three that kills anything that you need to kill, that lets decks get to turn four and turn five.
One card
plus if we're banning Become Immense.
Yeah. one card, no matter how good Toxic Deluge is fours, I think the format is swinging towards fours being more playable. Fives, though, that's such a difference. I mean, think about trying to play a five drop on the draw in Modern. Like, you're talking, like, the card has to literally just
Rag Tusk.
The card has to literally Karanos. Almost just win the game, or it's super fringe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sure. just. It is so difficult. I don't think Toxic Deluge makes it so that that's not the case. I think it just maybe those matchups or something. But nah. Anyway, all right. Tell us a little bit about your charity, man, and this autism event.
Oh yeah. So as part of the Dayton Magic Club, we just usually just gather, play all sorts of formats. Actually, Friday nights at Epic Loot Games in Centerville, Ohio, we run not one, two Legacy events. One at 6:30, one at 9.
Wow.
Along with Standard and Modern. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The store can get pretty packed there between like 8 and 9, right, as the earlier tournament's about to end and the Modern players show up and things like that. But it's a fun time. And last couple of years, one of the people in the Dayton Magic Club, Noah Ross, had this idea to have a charity event to raise money for autism awareness. And this will be our third year of doing something like that. It's going to happen July 30th at Epic Loot in their Springfield, Ohio location. With that event, we'll have a Legacy and a Modern event, but we'll cut the top eight, competitive REL, all those things. You can actually do a search for it on Facebook. I think I have it pinned on my Twitter page. Probably my pinned post, if I remember correctly.
And we'll link to that on the show notes for the episode.
All right. Sweet, sweet. Yeah. I've kind of taken a little bit of a break since GP Columbus, which we'll get to in a moment if needed. Anyway, So for the Legacy event, first place gets this card called Jace the Mind Sculptor. You may have heard of it.
Sweet.
I opened a foil one. That's the sickest one I've opened.
You opened a foil Jace?
Yeah, but it wasn't my pack.
Whose was it?
Well, not only do they get that for first place, but a box of Eternal Masters.
Oh, sick.
Oh, sick.
I just like, want to crack a box.
Then second, I think second also gets a box of Eternal Masters. Third and fourth split a box and so on. And fifth through eighth also get like packs of Eternal Masters and stuff like that too. And it pairs down that way. For the modern one, it's similar. There's this card called Liliana of the Veil you may have heard of.
Sweet.
And a box of Eternal Masters.
Wow.
So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, and then second also gets a box, and third, fourth, and so on. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Is this something that you guys would consider, like, you know, making more of? You know, like, I mean, it's becoming a little ridiculous, but there's all these holidays that are being, like, Best Friend Day and Free Donut Day, which I support because free donuts. But have you thought of maybe working with other stores around the country and trying to create more of a big event that all a bunch of stores kind of do this together as kind of a big autism awareness process?
Well, we haven't expanded a lot out of the Dayton area yet. However, when this happens, we do get the other stores involved. They contribute prizes that there's an auction that goes on throughout the entire event. I've contributed playmats to it before. I think, what was that reprint set? Was it the Battlegrounds reprint set from years ago, back in the late 90s?
Are you talking about Beatdown?
Someone contributed one of those. Yeah, Beatdown, that's it. Someone contributed one of those last year.
Sweet.
So yeah, like all the stores get involved, even some other like non-magic related businesses will include like gift cards or gift certificates to their business to have raffled off. Some of the guys involved in the club will just try and chip in by like making tokens to pass out just to have. And they'll like do like Pokemon tokens the first year we did it, and there's one Pokemon on each side. So that was kind of neat. So we all try and get involved in a way. We try and have coverage if possible. I think the guys are still working on that. We're even looking at relaunching the website here soon so we can get articles back up and running again. When a lot of the guys are like in school or in the Air Force or things like that, so real life kind of interferes in a way. So it's kind of hard to maintain some of that stuff. But no, it's a fun time. We usually draw anywhere between 60 to 100 people when we do these type of things. We just had our Eternal Weekend back at the end of April as our response to Star City Games going with their prize wall / cutting legacy coverage thing. So we're like, we'll do something ourselves. So we're kind of growing a little bit at a time, but it's definitely a fun time, and everybody has a good time, and we're all playing Magic, and so far nobody's been blood mooned out of any games I know of, but who knows, maybe that'll happen soon.
That's sweet. I'm looking at Beatdown right now. My stepbrother Jeff had Beatdown. He had the set way back when.
Nice.
It's hilarious looking at this. You can't this had to have been made in this had to have been like 98 or something, 99. You literally can't imagine a pre-con from 98 or 99 being so ridiculously under, like, there's no value in this at all. Like, it's like unbelievable. You'd think something that was made this long ago, you just like happened upon a couple cards. I think the most valuable card in this entire thing is a copy of Brainstorm. I think there's a Brainstorm, there's a Lightning Bolt, there's like a Counterspell, Diabolic Edict. That's basically, as you start to get into the rares are so sweet. They're like, they're such classic Magic rares. You get a copy of Leviathan, you get a Shivan Dragon, you get a Mahamoodi Djinn, you get a Force of Nature, a Clockwork Beast. Need I continue?
Oh man, these are classics. This takes me back to the times when we used to be on ESPN2 and all the pros like frosted their tips of their hair. And
I think we're all referring to the same clip, which is like not all of the pros. It's that one ESPN2 clip of Finkel playing like a mono red deck. And he just looks like his hair is like, it's like definitely frosted. And it's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen that clip a lot of times. It's like, that's like Magic's dark, dark past.
Oh, right. Back when we kind of were like, stereotyped as a bunch of surfer boys who played Magic or something, because that seemed to be the vibe at ESPN2 back then.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Wasn't that just the vibe of all of the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Like, all people were stereotyped as surfer dudes. All right. So I think that's kind of it for the cast. I do have a question for Twitter. Do you guys think Blood Moon should be banned? Because if you think it should be, you're on my side. And otherwise, we did run a poll. Blood Moon won, sticking around 73%, 28% on Twitter. We will link to your Meteory articles. We'll link to all of our Instagrams. We'll link to the event information for the Autism Awareness event on Rocket Jump. I've been Alex Kessler. My Twitter account is at the MMCast. My brain's off. I am at Kes Wiley. The Twitter for the podcast is at the MMCast.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. And of course, check out The Command Zone on rocketjump.com, our sister podcast, as well as our Patreon, patreon.com/the MMCast. We have some very cool stuff coming up there. And of course, we didn't mention it at the top of the cast, but we are partnering with some guys from DMTW. It's a clothing brand. They're a lifestyle brand. They're helping us make cool stuff. We're going to have some products coming out with those guys very soon. We love what those guys are doing right now. So check out that. We have a page on their site.
We also have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
That we're actually posting videos to.
Yeah.
Mike Clary.
Yeah.
Right on the cast. He's like making video versions that are like sweet. So check out our YouTube channel. It's Top Decking TV on YouTube. You can also watch Top Decking there if for season two, once you finish the sweet DVDs you get for being a Patreon subscriber in May, which makes sure to donate to the Patreon. And last but not least, Scott, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at MTG Pack Foils. You can also find me on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/MTG Pack Foils.
Sick.
And if you're ever in the Southwest Ohio area, you can find me at Epic Loot Games in Centerville every Friday night.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.